Achieving the highest level of performance is a critical path to success for leaders, teams, and businesses. It's more than a mindset, it's a skill set. Arizona Coaching and Consulting helps individuals, leaders, teams, and companies develop the skill set necessary to achieve enhanced levels of performance. Learn more about Arizona Coaching and Consulting capabilities, training programs, and coaching products at www.azc3.com or call 480-518-7757. Arizona Coaching and Consulting, the Performance Business Advisors.
Hello again on Circles of Change. Well, if there's any topic that gets leaders of change interested, and one of the primary reasons is we feel our own pain, it's when we recognize making a shift and stumbling into the challenges of a new culture, in which sometimes we navigate well and other times we have to really dodge the bullet. So with that, quick intro for Lynn Moran. Lynn, welcome to the show as always.
Thank you.
Great. Lynn leads the Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center. She's our business performance expert and guru, having spent a significant part of her career in the Mars Candy Organization, becoming president of Ethel M. Chocolates, and now segueing and doing consulting and coaching work all around the idea of business performance and results. And boy, culture comes up a lot, doesn't it, Lynn?
It does. And, you know, this, I thought it might get your attention when I put stumbling through the culture, because we talk so much about companies. Mm-hmm. But it really resonated with me to the point that you made earlier about companies invest such large quantities of money and time in recruiting leaders.
You bet.
And, you know, even if I look back at my own experiences, both the receiver and the giver, we're very good at convincing a person of the benefits of the company and the mission that has to be done. And even though they've started this process called onboarding, many times it's almost seen as, okay, here's step A, here's step B, okay, you're on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And lots of feedback comes towards a leader, and it's almost like they're trying to get it done once again in this condensed window. But in actuality, the disconnect probably happens within the first 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you say also that many times the idea of onboarding is, something as simple as how do I fill out forms to work and I park my car, to really not understanding or recognizing it's all the tacit knowledge, not the explicit stuff, that really is hard to articulate it. And if you've been a long time within a company, you may not even know what it is that you're in front of to help someone else become acquiesced to.
Absolutely. You know, the interesting thing about culture and leaders is there's the business and the business model. But culture is kind of this living, breathing aspect of a company that at times the leader is given an assignment to say, well, we want you to change the business, or we want you to, you know, make a difference here, that's not communicated down through the rest of the culture of the organization. And so the minute, do you remember the time when you start with a company, the minute you come in the door, you have like this very brief respite. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may be in meetings or whatever else, but then all of a sudden, everybody starts coming to you with these questions.
Yeah.
And you're kind of standing there going, you know what? I don't know. I don't know.
And in fact, because, you try to say, I don't know, for maybe up to a year, so it allows you to keep a clear head.
Right.
But you kind of can't get away with it too long.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many norms to the culture, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the unwritten pieces, just like we've talked about before with, you know, training programs or whatever is only the start of the improvement or evolution process of leadership. It's really the day in and day out work. So for the person who, you know, once again, it's sometimes it can almost feel like checking off a box. Okay, hired him in, filled this job, did orientation or onboarding with them, introduced him to this, and okay, we're done.
And, you know, Lynn, if I might add, too,
sure,
this same process or scrutiny needs to be applied many times to people you've promoted from the inside. And sometimes we overlook the fact that it's a whole new game for them, even if it's just an office down the hall or a cubicle over here or into the next building, that can be a whole new fresh start to take advantage of for them.
Another great point. Absolutely. So it's really this change. So suppose you work for an organization that has many locations. If you transfer from the East to another business operation, same company on the West, we know it's very different. All right. Everything that goes on there, kind of the perspective around work, it's just this whole nuance around this culture and this organization and leaders. And, you know, I was talking to somebody recently, and it just brought my mind, which started me down this path. You know how my mind works. It just kind of starts churning, and then things come into it. So what is it about this? Because if a company put in a production line and invested a lot of money, they have to, think about it, they have to make that line work.
You bet. There's no turning back.
There's no turning back. They have a commitment to the facility. They have a commitment to the line, the production line, to the products, and to the people. And yet, many times at leadership levels, and we've seen it in the news recently, there can be quick change the higher you go in a company. And I find that dichotomy very interesting. So what is it about an individual? Is it because it's easier to say, you know what, this probably wasn't just a good match, but maybe it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once again, people get messages through the interview or through the selection process, internally or externally, that may or may not be visible to the rest of the organization. And then when you come from the outside, especially, things that people take for granted, for instance, I need to have this kind of time off. I need to do this. Is that okay? I mean, a new leader can be sitting, and can it be a senior person who's talking to them about, well, it's not written, but we're kind of okay with this, that a new leader has no idea about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They really don't know the nuances of what's not described or printed or given to them in a week or two.
You bet. Or the classic, as we say, the Billy Crystal line from the movie City Slickers, this wasn't in the brochure.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we all understand that, right? That can happen. Onboarding is part of what's come into play that says, well, we want to try to get them off to the best, you know, start. But longer term, I just find it once again interesting that there are instances where we've made this huge investment, but companies are very quick to make the change, and yet they can't in other parts of the business. So I'm going to come at it from rather than trying to turn the big ship,
mm-hmm.
to say, once you're on the ship, what are some things to think about? What can the organization as a whole, no matter where you are in the company, as well as the formal process, that is the HR group and others, do to kind of nurture this significant investment they've made? All right. So one of the first things that I was thinking about, and I'd be interested in hearing your perspective, is to assign a trusted advisor to counsel and guide the leader. And I actually would make that plural. I think there needs to be an internal, and I believe there needs to be an external.
And I would also suggest, and you're right on, that it's probably more than one internal, but you don't want to muddy up the waters with too many voices at the same time.
Right.
But often we overlook the potential of that internal advisor to actually be a peer. They have the tendency to only view it as someone that has a higher organizational stature, which is important because you've got to open doors and provide access to networks and so on. But usually the inside GQ comes from the peers, and also, as you and I often talk about, to be effective in an organization, we oftentimes get distracted and spend so much time managing down and managing up. But at the end of the day, what really sustains what we're going to do, particularly those hired to lead change, right, is how we manage across the organization.
Absolutely. So that's why I believe it's probably more than one. And I believe it also has to be people who are on the same kind of track. In other words, high potential, so that there is a, you know, people aren't working through challenges themselves, all right? Because I find it hard sometimes when I talk to or, you know, coach or consult with people or companies, and they'll say, yeah, they brought my new boss in and I had to train him. I know that in business you have to be tough, But I don't know if that's tough or if that's naive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I believe that who you select, and sometimes the leader may have to find that person.
Yes, that's
themselves, right.
Right,
or those persons, is you have to find somebody that you know has interest in the outcome, but not directly related to you. So that's where I believe that peer piece does come in very strongly, as well as like maybe an elder statesperson.
Mm-hmm,
by
right.
elder, I mean longevity. They just have a really good feel for the organization, and you can kind of pick up from this person, like, you know, they know a lot of the stories and a lot of the nuances. And I believe you learn from history. So I'm not the person who says, well, I don't want to know what we did before. I'm the person who says, so tell me what we did and why you think it worked and why you think it didn't. You know, what was the outcome and what's your perspective on it? So, yeah, I think the leader has to take a very proactive role. And I think whoever hired them, not HR, and I was in HR, and, you know, I have a lot of respect for HR, but I think there has to also be some ownership from the leader who brought this new person into the company.
And in fact, that's where the power comes in. If in the process of you recruiting that person, if you had a slate of the right people that were on the interviewing, the wooing team, I'll say, even the people that picked them up from the airport or took them out to dinner or breakfast, that's a great way to kind of stage up the onboarding team, shall I say, from the peer standpoint, particularly to your point about, tell me about the culture and the norms, not just the shall answer man benefit questions and,
right.
you know, how do you get your office cleaned or any of that kind of stuff, or how do I use the new IT system?
Exactly, which I always, I mean, I find that hysterical, right? Because the number of times, I haven't changed 10 or 15 times like others, but I can remember sitting in an office going, so can anybody tell me how this works?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have this system.
Mm.
You know, it's actually a new system than the one I was used to. And people look at you and go, really? It's like, yeah. So it's things that we may not think about, but they really have a lot to do with the success and productivity of this investment. I mean, leadership is a huge investment by a company. So I think the other side of it is to also set realistic time expectations for the leader.
Yeah, okay.
It's almost like hit the ground running, even if you don't know where you're supposed to run. Because saying, I want this kind of change, I want you to do this, is not something that you go into an organization and say, okay, you and you are out, and you and you are doing this. And you really have to have the tolerance for the person to come back with a business plan versus, you know, how I feel about moving the boxes just to have some action going on.
Right, exactly. But
okay.
I guess your message here, though, is as much for the organization itself that's bringing a new person on, but also those who make the shift, or for those of you listening that might be taking a cross-functional move from engineering to marketing, or from sales to marketing, even closer, or from IT to a program management role, is you want to really make sure you're taking a fresh look or an opportunity to lean on others to understand the nuances that can be dramatically different from where you came from, even within the same company.
Absolutely. Well, I think I mentioned to you, when I moved from sales to HR in the same company, they spoke a different language.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, truly.
Yeah, truly. In fact, I recall going from a worldwide technology group where everybody in the building were essentially engineering technologists. Then I moved to a business unit building, and even the dynamics at lunch were dramatically different. You needed to do lunch a different way, right? I mean, in the cross-functional building,
absolutely.
You were kind of expected to kind of sit with the cross-functional groups, whereas
right.
in the engineering side of the business, if people even went to the cafeteria, usually they were eating at their desk. But yeah, there's a whole different dynamic, and particularly when you're brought in as a leader, to be mindful on how to do lunch.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, where I spent a lot of my career, I used to say we were like wolves. We traveled in packs. And when you changed a functional area, you had to change your pack.
Yeah.
I found that fascinating. this is where we eat, and this is when we eat. And I was like, wow, this is really a strong cultural norm here that I had no clue about.
And, Lynn, did you also find that you had to somewhat adjust your attire as well, how you dressed?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yes. Yes, because, I was always around manufacturing. And the office was connected there. So there, you know, there is a respect for people, so, you know, who make the product.
You bet.
So you would find me a lot of days in whites with a bump cap on out in the factory, because I believe, and that'll be the topic of our next conversation, because I want to bring it back because of a lot of things you see and hear today about respecting the work.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to this, you're absolutely right. What I'm talking about is, why do people who are bright, talented, and highly sought after stumble through the culture? And I believe that, it's the patience for the change.
Sure. Yeah.
That the business has or doesn't have. It is the stumbling blocks, the cultural kind of norms that aren't highly visible or maybe not talked about, but really influence people's perceptions. And then I also believe that this is where HR can be very empowered to change, or let's say push against, some of the ways that we onboard executives, and that is to make a commitment to a new leader for a minimum of 6 months, maybe a year. And that is to actually assign somebody for a new senior leader. All right, I'm talking more about, you know, upper middle and senior leadership that says, we're going to continue to work cultural norms, and I am going to be a facilitator for you and your team, because we all know the team model, right?
Correct, yeah.
The forming, storming, norming, performing.
Yep.
And I don't know about you, but I've always experienced that, which is people are there trying to figure out, so who is this person? How's it going to work? What's my role on it? But a minimum of 6 months to say, it's not just about, you know, the onboarding formal process, but it's also about, let's talk about some of the key things that come up in this, you know, organization that can disrupt work or seem to be, you know, a top of mind issue for people in this group. Great. So you keep on the supply side.
Yes.
Versus you get further down the pipeline and you have big problems.
Big problems.
And the leader now is stumbling.
And a need for intervention, which is always a slippery slope. But, you know,
right.
Part of our challenge, though, I mean, I'm certain people are listening saying, 6 months? Well, how come they get a break? You know, I get hired into a job, and because of the great speed up, the productivity demands and so on, I'm expected to be on point within 2 weeks with minimal training. Right? But I think this causes us to rethink and take pause. Back to that whole analogy, the metaphor you said, you wouldn't dream of bringing in a new piece of manufacturing equipment and not have a prototype, start a production, you know, ramp up phase.
Absolutely. And you keep people there who have installed
the
line with you for a while, depending on the size of the investment. And the other piece that I would ask people to think about is, water always flows downstream. So the better we start to develop and orient and even acclimate leadership to cultures and, you know, kind of the organizational way of doing things, not that it doesn't have to be pushed against, but to ensure that there's a smoother transition, actually everybody does benefit. And then they start to see that, you know, maybe we should be doing some different things with leadership throughout the business. It may not be 6 months, but I truly don't believe it's 2 weeks. I think there have to be visits back. That's what I'm talking about, which is a commitment window that says, you know, let's talk about misalignment, or let's talk about trust issues. Let's get them out there. Let's keep working on them. I believe, in actuality, you will gear up the team faster and produce results more quickly when that facilitation continues.
One of the challenges you have is many times, I would suggest the data would probably bear out, particularly hiring leaders from the outside, is they are brought in specifically, though, to transform an organization. And if not, you know, kick the apple cart over and start things rolling in a new direction. Having said that, then, it's all the more mindful to understand that some of the things you're talking about here, stumbling around the culture, if they're brought in thinking or challenged to change the culture, that is not something that happens in 6 months, regardless of how chaotic or what other things might be externally forcing that function. Right, Lynn?
Right. And haven't we both seen those assignments or lived those assignments? And so what starts to happen at times, which is what I'm putting the challenge out about, which is instead of stumbling through it, you know, facilitate the leader through the culture is, well, you know, I'm starting to hear people are upset. Well, of course they're upset. If you're in there to make...
Then we hired you for that, yeah.
And that's what I believe. Without that longer-term leadership commitment is what begins to cause the leader to stumble, because then they're like, well, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't be pushing this hard. You know, maybe I should be backing off. Now I'm getting, you know, an environment that is not, you know, going to be well received, and it actually takes them off the mission. I believe many times that the very senior leadership in the company hired them for.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, it all comes back to, because your words of advice to us today here is certainly for those of you who are in charge of hiring and bringing new talent in and setting that up to succeed, as well as those of us who raise our hand and jump for the assignments that perhaps no one else wants to touch because of the adrenaline rush of being part of a bigger agenda. But both of those nuances call for really having a heightened self-awareness and also social awareness.
Yeah.
And to your point, Lynn, sometimes you can't see what you can't see, or you can't see your own self in motion. So
correct.
To rely on a trusted advisor, if the company doesn't give you one, go find one, both internal or external, and be part of your own support structure. And it's not people that are going to tell you what you want to hear. It'll be those that'll say, you know, next time it might have been smarter if you had done this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I call them trusted advisors. When I look back to some of my experiences, my advisors were, to your earlier point, at different levels in the company. One was actually on the factory floor.
Right, yeah.
But if I really wanted to know the truth...
What's going on, yeah, exactly.
That person would say to me, well, you know, Lynn, you got to think about this when you're talking to the plant people about how fast and the changeover. And I was like, gee, I wish somebody else would have told me that, okay? Because it is a learning process.
Well, and then when you were leading change, I'm sure you knew that it wasn't that you only not only appreciated them as advisors, but if you wanted to deploy something fast, that's exactly who you went to and gave them the heads up, because they could get it into the nooks and crannies of the organization much better than any bulletin board, email, even speech in front of the masses would get you.
Absolutely. So today, really, I'm putting the challenge out there with you to the leaders as well as the companies to say, if you take a mindset that says this investment is as significant to the success of the company as that line we put in, because truly, it is the other side of the equation, which is the resources called the human resources. So you have the hard production facilities and costs, but you have this other piece, which is a huge fixed cost also, that is an investment in making that company the best it can be, and that's on the human side. And because water does flow downstream, the more indoctrinated, embraced, supported, and also facilitated a new leader can be within a business, the greater the productivity the company is going to realize longer term. But we can turn off to a person faster than we can turn off to something that is, you know, sitting there and is physical location that we have to commit to. And I'm making the proposition that says people stumble because we need to look at the human resources with as critical and as committed an eye as we do any other investment we make in the company.
Very well put. And I would add, for those who are thinking about their own imprint that they make in an organization, that the idea of developing others, this could be a very powerful additional way to have your imprint, and that is to reach out and look for ways that you can help position your peers or even those more senior who are brought in on the inside, you know, from the outside, to make them feel inside to make that happen.
Yes,
very
absolutely.
Good. Well, Lynn Moran, thank you so much from Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center. Lynn's website is AZC3. She's available for consultation, for coaching, not just regional bound, by the way. Lynn works across the country. And always great thoughts from the leadership standpoint, the bigger organization down to the individual level. Lynn, have a wonderful Memorial Day, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next month.
You also. Good talking to you.
Take care, Lynn. You bet.
Bye-bye.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.